good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Wednesday morning. It's Bing Verbus Day.
Yes. Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean,
but he's here today.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, you know, you're here with us today.
Right, right. Well, so I'm glad to be here. It was a beautiful drive up.
Oh, yeah, beautiful morning.
I was looking at the crops in the field. I think they're doing what they're supposed to be doing with all this rain.
Well, I tell you what.
They're growing. They're getting green. The sun's out for the next few days, I hear, so it's going to be just very, very beneficial for the farmers.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I tell you what, we've had a few rough days, you know, especially in the state of Kentucky.
Yes.
Touchdowns of tornadoes destroying a lot of
area,
and of course I think 18 people lost their lives.
That's right.
You know, and I think 20 something all around, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
From where they've started come through. So
yeah.
You know, we just need to be in prayer for those families.
Yes.
That's lost loved ones.
Yeah.
And all this damage that's taken place.
The city of St. Louis experienced a good bit of, you know, damage there.
Yes.
I think there may have been a loss of life there, too. But, it seems like these storms are more frequent in our area.
Yeah.
It seems like they're getting more fierce.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have more people on this planet than we've ever had before, which means they're closer and living closer together. And when these storms come through, they're more than likely going to hit folks.
Yes.
Whereas 50 years ago, they may not have hit folks, you know.
You know, I was thinking the other day, Bing, I said, you know, when we first moved to Todd County, when we used to go to Clarksville, there was hardly any homes in some of the areas where there's many homes now, you know, and you're sitting here going, wow, how things have grown just in the time that I've been here, you know.
I can remember people saying there will be a day then when Hopkinsville will be just like one big continuous suburb area to Fort Campbell, and then from Fort Campbell to Clarksville, it'll be that way. And it's getting really, really close to that.
Getting really, really, close. It really is.
Yeah. I can
really
remember I was in first grade at South Christian Elementary School. This would have been somewhere around 60. Well, it was around the time that President Kennedy got elected.
Okay.
62, 63.
It's been a long time ago.
Yeah, 63. And the very first day I got on the bus,
I was
picked up in Oak Grove, Kentucky. We lived on a plantation-type building out there. The Burkharts owned it, and we lived in the apartment upstairs. The bus picked me up and took me to school, and on the way back, I took the wrong bus.
Uh-oh.
And I was the last poor first grader on that bus, and the bus driver pulled on 41A between Fort Campbell and Hopkinsville.
Uh-huh.
There was an old, like a flea market there. It was a gravel parking lot.
Okay.
And he said, young man, did you miss your stop? And I said, I never saw my stop. So we got it all sorted out. But that first bus ride of mine is something that's going to stick in my memory forever. So
that was interesting.
From that point on, it was like, I'm going to remember the bus number. I think my mother may have written it down on a piece of paper and had me hold it. But but I'm talking about that because between Hopkinsville and Fort Campbell at that time, there was no interstate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing but farmland.
Yeah.
And there was a few things, like that old flea market, and I think it may still be there.
I believe you're right. It's still there, kind of like a drive-up flea market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure,
But let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. We ask, Lord, that you will speak today through the Front Porch program. We do pray for all the families, all the people who have been affected by these storms. We pray, Lord, that they will be given support and help so they can rebuild. We pray, Lord, that they will be comforted for those who have lost loved ones. And we ask, Lord, that you will extend your great mercy and peace and presence there upon all who have been affected by the storms. We thank you for those people who have softened their hearts to help in any way they can. We just thank you, Lord, when we see the goodness within souls of men and women. Amen. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Bing, where are we picking up today?
Well, we're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians. We've been talking about that epistle of Paul. He pointed out that there were some things going on in that church that needed to be cleaned up. There were some divisions in that church, allegiances to leaders in that church that didn't need to be there. Last week, we left off talking about the judgment seat of Christ, and we had some verses highlighted about Jesus' eyes as a flame of fire, and he is going to be our judge. Mm-hmm. He will be the judge of the church first, and I believe that'll take place at the judgment seat of Christ once we're there in his presence. And then a thousand years later or more, he will be the judge of every person who has ever lived and breathed upon this earth. Mm-hmm. That'll be at the great white throne. But we're going to pick up in where we left off last week, the judgment seat of Christ, and just highlighting a few things after that.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. A.W. Tozer observed this, 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other. They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which one must individually bow. So, 100 worshipers meeting together, each looking to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. Let's look to Jesus. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
I am Brother Mark Fong, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, use Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Missionary Radio. And welcome back to Missionary Radio, and this is the Front Porch on a Wednesday.
That's right. And we talked about before the break, we're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians, where we left off last week, and that was in verse 3:14, 1 Corinthians 3:14. So after the judgment seat of Christ, what we ended on last time we were together, 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Okay? So if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be, and the verse says, he shall be saved. Mm-hmm. This is talking about the fiery judgment, the experiencing of heat as we look into Jesus' eyes and are thoroughly, thoroughly cleansed and saved. And it goes on to say, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So after that purification process, I believe we will be ushered into the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we will be clothed in white linens, pure and clean. Mm-hmm. And there we will await until Jesus is called back to earth by his people. But anyway, going on another path there. So a man will suffer loss, is what the verse told us, if his works are burned. Or a man will not suffer loss if they remain and are not burned away. And the good news is, as I just mentioned, he or she will be saved regardless of what works he or she has done for him while they were alive upon this earth. So knowing that one day, Brian, every believer in Jesus Christ will stand before him, and knowing that every believer in Jesus Christ will undergo the cleansing fire of his judgment, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 3:16 of the gravity and the seriousness of how we conduct the rest of our lives Now, this is speaking rest of our lives after our conversion, after our born-again experience, while we're living in our physical bodies on this earth. He goes on to say this, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God?" That's what Paul telling all believers.
Yeah.
"And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." He's like saying, don't you know that you're the temple and the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? In the Old Testament, God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. And in the very center of that tabernacle was the most holy place. The most holy place was the place where God dwelled among his people. Now, could anyone go into the most holy place then?
No.
You could not do that. And there was only one person who, after the law was given, could enter there, and that was the high priest, the reigning high priest. Now, could the high priest just walk into the most holy place whenever he wanted to? No.
No.
The answer is no. He could only enter there once a year, to make an atoning sacrifice for the people of Israel. The most holy place was a representation of God's actual holy dwelling place in the third heaven. We get a picture of that in Revelation, where he is surrounded by the four beasts, surrounded by a rainbow on his throne, surrounded by the 24 elders. That, and the Lamb, we see the Lamb sitting at his side there in Revelation. That is the most holy place in the center of the city of New Jerusalem, in the third heaven. Now, later, Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant was brought there. And where was the Ark of the Covenant placed in that temple that Solomon built? It's that small room in the very center, which we were talking about, is called the Most Holy Place. And what separated the Most Holy Place from the Holy of Holies in that temple? The Holy of Holies is half of the Most Holy Place. You can enter into the Holy Place, but there is something that separated the Holy Place from the Holy of Holies in that temple. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. 2 Corinthians 3:14 says this, and this is speaking of Solomon. This is what Solomon made that separated the Holy Place from the Holy of Holies. "And he made the veil of blue and purple and crimson in fine linen, and wrought cherubims thereon." So cherubims, angels were all embroidered on this this magnificent curtain that was 60 feet in height in Solomon's temple. And when Jesus died on the cross, do you remember what happened to that curtain?
It was rent.
It was rent, not from the bottom up, but it was rent in half. From the top down,
yes,
which represented what? Well, it represented that God did the ripping from above, from downward to the earth, because in God's eyes, by what Jesus accomplished, there was no more veil. There was no more partition between the holy God in whom we serve and whom we believe in and sinful man whom we are without a holy God.
Absolutely.
But more than that, because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, all believers in Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16, are what? We were just told, we are the temple of God, meaning God now resides in us. So that knowledge alone should change everything about why we are allowed to exist upon this earth. 1 Corinthians 3:17 warns us this. Now listen to this. Thinking about the temple of God, the Holy of Holies, thinking about how holy it is and how pure. 1 Corinthians 3:17 warns us, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. And he ends it with, which temple ye are. In the Old Testament, nothing from the outside world could enter the temple of God. And once inside the temple, no Jew, besides a high priest, and that just once a year, could enter into the most holy place. In other words, the temple was separate from the world, and all things that took place in that temple had to be washed, had to be cleansed, had to be done in such a way that it honored God's holiness.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the way it had to be done in the Old Testament temple, I ask this question, would it not be done in the same way in the New Testament temple? Which verse 17 says, you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's something to think about, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Now, that's a eureka moment for many people, I'm sure. We are not our own.
That's right. That's right.
The Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost is indwelling us, when the Holy Ghost makes our body his temple, mm-hmm. it is surely not our own. Because it goes on to say, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are not yours,
mm-hmm.
which are God's.
That's right.
We belong to God.
Belong to him.
And that just puts a whole new outlook
yes.
on being the temple of God.
Yes.
We got some very good letters to read next.
Yes,
we
do. Penned from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Madisonville, I've been a believer for a long time, and I love listening to Christian music. Missionary Radio is important to me because you don't just play the most popular thing, but strive to keep in alignment with the gospel. The music you play, the programs you share, and the message that is woven throughout matters in ways you cannot imagine. Thank you for your commitment in celebrating and honoring the true Jesus. May those who have never heard or those hearing again be pointed to Christ through you. From Big Rock, thank you for such good ministry. And from Crofton, God bless each one. Continue the good work.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Bing Burbus with
us
this morning.
Yes, we left off in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, I believe, was the verses. And the last part of that was, for you are bought with a price, speaking to all believers. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We were talking about our body and our spirit. They're not ours. They're God's. So there needs to be a washing, just as there was a washing and the cleansing of the temple of God in the Old Testament, there needs to be a washing in this New Testament temple
mm-hmm.
also. Now,
mm-hmm.
Jesus has already washed us white as snow.
Yes.
There needs to be daily sacrifices made in this New Testament temple, and we know Jesus sacrificed himself to make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
Without Jesus, we could never make the daily sacrifices needed in our body, in our old man, that would please God, but in our new man, which belongs to God and is made alive in Christ, all things are possible because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And there still needs to be a separation from the ways of the world around us, just as it was in the Old Testament. The world could not enter into that temple. And how's that done today? Well, listen to what the next two verses tell us. We'll first go to Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is something that we should, by reason of what has happened to us, do. And then 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, is this telling us we have a part in the cleansing of the temple also? Yes, it does. Temple we're speaking of here is our physical body. We have a part in that. Now, Jesus has cleansed us. He's forgiven us. But daily, we have a part in that to keep it clean, to keep it holy, to keep it pure. Is this telling us we have a part in presenting sacrifices in this temple also? Yes, presenting our bodies. We are presenting to God a living sacrifice because our body's not dead.
That's right.
To God. That is presenting our bodies to God a living sacrifice. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:18 says this, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Okay? There is nothing that we can get from this world, Brian, or the teachings of this world, or the ways of this world that have anything to do with preparing us to live a Christian life.
Right.
The world can't propagate that
by
what it teaches and what the customs are and what it promotes. How can I say that? Well, by what verse 19 tells us. It goes on to say, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Now, this is speaking of the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of humanity without God. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. He knows our thoughts, that they are vain. Okay. And then Psalms 94:11 agrees with that, telling us plainly this, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. We have no hope. We are vain creatures.
Yeah.
We will promote ourselves. We will lift ourselves up without the knowledge and without the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, which governs that, which stifles that, or it should, or the Spirit should. There's a saying, the wise of the world are always full of schemes and plans for earthly gain, all of which are empty and vain. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but that's something that has been written in the past by I do not know who. But knowing that, or knowing the thought of that, verse 21 says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. In other words, quit killing yourselves for this physical existence on this earth only. Don't define all of who you are by this short lifespan you have upon this earth. Don't join in, he's speaking to the church here, with the rest of humanity by glorying in all the things that we can achieve on this earth together as individuals or as mankind without God. Don't glory in those things. We have been given so much more, Brian, than the lifespan, this tiny lifespan counted in years. We have been given eternity where there is no end. That's just a fact. That's a fact of the Bible. We will, when we breathe our last breath, and I can't explain how it's done, it's a mystery, we'll all go through it, but we will never stop existing. We will be alive.
That's right.
We will be alive in that passing on from this world to the next. So at our conception, when the Spirit of God ignites life within our mother's womb, we become eternal beings. That's just That's just the way the Bible tells us it is.
Right.
After our first birth, we are destined to spend eternity separated from God because of Adam's sin if we don't experience the second birth. Mm-hmm. But after our second birth, we are guaranteed to spend eternity with God because of who?
Jesus.
Jesus. His blood covering.
Yep.
His blood covering for all our sins. Just like in the Old Testament, just like in the plagues of Egypt, at the very end, the children of Israel were commanded, they were told to take the blood of this unblemished lamb and spread it on the doorpost and the lintel of their homes, and the angel of death would pass over. Mm-hmm. When we have the blood covering of Jesus on us, and this is something that is invisible to the physical eyes,
yeah,
God looks upon us and doesn't see a sinful, vain, proud, vile, wicked creature anymore. He sees a person who has been consecrated by Jesus' blood,
amen,
anointed by that blood,
amen,
and he sees Jesus' holiness instead of our sinfulness.
That's
what he sees. And that is wonderful news. That's the news that we preach here at Missionary Radio every day.
That's right.
We tell people about this, this indescribably good news that Jesus has provided to all mankind because God loves all mankind.
Amen.
So don't harden your hearts. If you are out there listening today and you do not know the Savior Jesus Christ, today could be the day that you can just say, Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. I'm destined to spend eternity separated from my Creator, and I need you to forgive me of all my sins. Would you come into my life? I accept you as my Lord and my Savior and my King.
Amen.
That would be a wise decision to make, because one day in the future, you are going to bow down and you are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's right.
You should do it today. You should do it today. We'll pick up in 1 Corinthians 3:22 when we get back. Brian.
All right. It's time for Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio.
You know, people often ask, Johnny, if you could describe the one lesson, the one insight, the one principle from God's Word that completely altered your life when you were first struggling with your wheelchair, what would that be? And I tell you what, I've had a long time to think about that answer. And it's something I want to share with you today in hopes you will pass the insight on to others, others you know who are suffering and unable to come to grips with maybe some awful affliction that God has allowed in their lives. So, what is that one principle, that one insight? Here it is. It's the insight that helped me move from depression to hope. It is, God's Word has the power to completely change our view of suffering, leading us out of despair and into a world of hope. First, consider Jesus. God permitted what he hated, the cruelty of Christ's crucifixion, to accomplish something he loved, and that is salvation for a world of sinners. It would not have happened without the cross. And in the same way, God permitted what he hated, my spinal cord injury, to accomplish something that he loved, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It wouldn't have happened, at least to the degree that I've experienced, it wouldn't have happened without my suffering. And when I saw this amazing connection, suddenly there was this connection between Christ's afflictions and mine. Then my story of suffering no longer felt isolated or small or suffocating or shriveled. I was now connected to a much bigger, a more cosmic story, that of Jesus Christ's. And that insight alone laid the foundation for me to then grow leaps and bounds, all because my suffering was now located in my Savior. I had the power to take up my cross daily and die to the sins, that is, fear, bitterness, resentment, that Jesus died for on his cross. And oh, did it bond me to the Lord as never before. When I saw myself in Christ's sufferings, his story, the big story, I moved from the life of Johnny to the life of Christ. From then on out, normal Christian life became simply this: every day, dying and rising with Jesus, and suffering gets me there. In short, this 35,000-foot view of suffering helped me know I was not merely in a wheelchair. I was in the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. I was connected with the biggest reality of all. This big view on suffering, the view that intertwines us with God's story at the cross, it normalizes our afflictions. It gives us an explanation for what we're going through. It helps us find virtue in suffering. It becomes our pathway to joy. And best of all, it changes the narrative. We are no longer victims, but in Christ, we are victors. And happy, joyful victors at that.
Now, friend, I realize this is a lot to take in. So I encourage you to listen again to what Johnny just shared. Just go to johnnyradio.org and listen one more time to this special program. Better yet, why not share it with your friends, especially those who are struggling to trust Christ in their suffering? Again, go to johnnyradio.org to hear today's program and spread the good news. The news that says, God may permit what he hates, but it's all to the end that he'll accomplish something he loves. Something he loves in your life and in the lives of his friends. Oh, and by the way, we want to pray for you. So while you're at johnnyradio.org, give us your prayer request, and our team will lift up your need before the Lord. God bless you today, and thank you for listening.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet, and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Music and programming to exalt King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
You know, I'm glad to know we can get on our knees and fight our battles. You know,
that's where it's at.
Amen.
That's where it's at. Our knees are kind of like a conduit into the realm mm-hmm. of the unseen.
Yes.
And it puts us, you know, what it should do for believers in Christ, when we're on our knees and we close our eyes, we should feel that curtain around us that represents the Holy of Holies, because that's where we're at. We are in the presence of our Savior, mm-hmm. and our Savior, according to the Word of God, is interceding for us right next to the Father.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and the Holy Spirit, according to Revelation, is there also in the Holy of Holies in New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
We should feel that presence. We should feel like we're right there. I think that's where the power of prayer really comes through, when we realize where we're at.
Amen.
And when we realize what mm-hmm. kind of power we are unleashing.
Yes.
You know,
upon
the kingdom of darkness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Our battle is not flesh and blood.
Mm-mm, no.
All right. So we left off in 1 Corinthians 3:22, and Paul leads us into another direction. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, he says this, all are yours. All are yours. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to attempt to explain it, and it could be explained maybe in different ways, but our existence on this earth as born-again believers in Christ goes beyond the confines of this earth. It goes beyond the physical life and death. Mm-hmm. It goes beyond the present world into eternity future. How's that possible? Well, there's only one way that's possible. Verse 23 tells us how it's possible. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. We were just talking about that oneness there in the in the Holy of Holies in New Jerusalem today, telling us wherever he is now is where we will one day be also. Now, we're there spiritually. We're there in our inner man. Yeah. But one day we'll be there also in our resurrected bodies. We'll be there in that presence.
Yes.
That's where the truth of Romans 8:28 comes into play for all believers in Christ. And we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, are we called according to his purpose? Or are we living for the purposes of this world? We come back to reality here.
Yeah.
We have a choice. It's a daily choice.
Absolutely.
It's as soon as you get out of bed in the morning, you have choices to make.
Yes, you do.
As God's husbandry, and we talked about that last week, are we producing his fruit? And also we talked about last week, as God's building, are we placing upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone of that building, everlasting works or temporary works? 1 Corinthians 4:1 tells us, let no man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. The Apostle Paul, along with Apollos, along with Cephas, and along with any of us who know the truth today, are stewards of the mysteries of God. That seems like it's heaped a whole bunch upon us, but it's true. Anyone who has believed the testimony of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, of the New Testament, has become a new creature. That's what God's Word says. We become a new creature. How did this new creature develop? It's developed because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, it possible for us to be stewards of this mystery that the rest of the world doesn't know. That's the mystery that can free the soul. That's a mystery that can cleanse the soul. That's a mystery that can make this new creature blossom.
Yes.
And it's all because of Jesus. Amen. There was a time in the Old Testament when the Jews were the ministers of God. But since the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the New Testament saints have become ministers of Christ. Verse 1 tells us, let no man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. This verse is telling us only individuals who are now connected to Christ by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit know that Jesus is the key that will unlock the mysteries of God in these New Testament times in which we now live. We know that. If you're born again, you know that.
Yes.
That's
yes.
something the world doesn't know. It's still a mystery. Verse 11:25 says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So this gives us something else to look at and to chew on. This tells us Israel, the nation of Israel today, will remain blind. They will remain inactive in promoting the kingdom of God upon this earth by using Jesus as a key to that kingdom to God of God. Until when? Well, until it says the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Are we or are we not living in the Gentile age today? We are. And no one on this earth knows how long it will last. But when the New Testament church is taken from this earth at the rapture of the church, God's attention, according to God's word, will be back on his chosen people, Israel. Israel is blind today in the age of the Gentiles. But once the Gentile church, once the believing church is taken from this earth, we're going to see very plainly, and we do in Scripture, that Israel is not forgotten. It's like they've been put on the back burner during the Gentile age, but once we're gone, he puts them back on the front burner. Mm-hmm. After they are refined and cleansed, and this is something else they have to go through by the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, and then again made one with God by calling upon Jesus to save them at the final battle of Armageddon, then for the last 1,000 years of time on this earth, the Jews will resume their position as ministers of God. They will, at that time, understand the mysteries of God, and that's the mysteries of the New Testament Savior, Jesus Christ, that mystery which makes new creatures of all who believe, and will proclaim it to the world until the 1,000-year reign of Christ is fulfilled. The Jews, from the very get-go, God wanted them to be a peculiar nation. They wanted to be a holy people. He wanted them to be proclaimers of God's goodness to the world. Mm-hmm. They had some mishaps. They had some trials, which they failed in their history. But God, when the church is gone, is going to put them back on the front burner. Speaking of purging, speaking of going through judgment, fiery judgment, all that will be done, and as a result, they will be the people that God wanted them to be all along for the last 1,000 years of time on this earth and throughout eternity. But, Brian, today Israel is blind, just as the rest of the world is blind to the truth of Jesus Christ, unless they are born again.
Yeah.
We, believers in Jesus, are stewards of this great mystery concerning the redemption of all mankind. We're stewards of this.
Amen.
Now, 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Mm-hmm. We should ask this question to ourselves. I'll ask it to myself. You ask it to yourself. Are we faithful to this mystery? Is our goal to explain this mystery to those who do not know this mystery? It should be. It should be. These are things no one can answer but you. And these are things, according to the next verse, which we must guard ourselves from judging other believers when they don't appear to us to be good stewards. We can't say be a good steward when we ourselves know we're not good stewards.
That's true. You know,
we can't.
Very true.
1 Corinthians 4:3 tells us, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you," this is Paul speaking, "or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self." This is the Apostle Paul saying this. He's telling us, as a good steward, we are to be found faithful in what we do. That's a full-time job in itself.
It is.
And if we are faithful by the Spirit's leading to be about the kingdom's work here on earth, there is no one, including ourselves upon this earth, whose judgment should even matter to us at all. Don't get caught up in what others are doing or not doing with this mystery of God to the world. Whatever others are doing or not doing should not change our course nor keep us from doing our appointed work for God upon this earth. Paul says, it doesn't matter how you judge me. It doesn't matter how any man judges me. It doesn't even matter in my own mind what I think of myself or how I place myself as above or below others. As children of God, his judgment, Paul says, God's judgment is all that matters. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your plan of redemption for all of mankind. I ask, Lord, that you will continue to lift up this station, bless this station, provide for this station, so that we can daily, hourly, every minute, proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, the mystery that the world doesn't know that we do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Bing, and thanks for listening to The Front Porch. Join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.